Hey everyone, welcome to the Bridgepoint Message Podcast. My name's Andy and I'm part of the digital ministry team here at Bridgepoint. Miss Havisham in Charles Dickens' classic Great Expectations stopped time because she didn't like the reality of her situation. Instead of dealing with what happened to her, she stopped all the clocks in her house at the precise moment that the event happened. She even only wore one shoe for the rest of her life because she hadn't put it on at the time of the painful event. While this may seem funny to us, in some respects we do the same thing. We pause time, don't deal with the past, and expect things to be the same. This isn't God's intention for us. In today's message, Tyler and Mike talk about moving forward by looking at your past.
Today is week 3 of our Deep Waters series. I think today has the potential to be incredibly impactful. If you've missed any of the weeks so far, they're on YouTube and it's going to be worth catching up in this series. This series is based off of a book by Pete Scazzaro called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. We actually have 4 different emotionally healthy spirituality studies going on across campuses and online because we've been so excited about this content. We've been excited about what God wants to do with it for our church, but we've been excited about the heart change we think this content will guide us towards as we help people, ourselves included, to get closer to God. That's the mission of Bridgepoint. Today is really special because in week 3, we're actually going to do something a little bit different. We've got our executive pastor of operations on the stage with us today. This is Mike Solosi. We're gonna do a little interview today, and I'm excited about it. Mike, in executive pastor of operations, is basically all things opposite of me. While my giftedness puts me in front of people often, talking sometimes way too much, Mike's giftedness puts him behind the scenes often and talking only when it's purposeful. But Mike is very much that. HR things, finance things, keeping things moving together and keeping me under control is kind of all the things that make up Mike in relation to your role here at Bridgepoint. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and I'm glad that you're you and you're me, and that makes a good team.
There we go.
It's great when we're, you know, being who we are that God created us to be, fully submitted and surrendered to his leadership in our life. And so I love being on the team with you.
I love it. If you've missed any of the series, like I said, make sure you catch up. But today we want to jump right out from the gate and let you know where we're headed. The big idea today is the pathway to a deeply transformed life. Okay? The pathway to a deeply transformed life includes an honest understanding of how our past and our family both influences and impacts our present. And certainly that means our future. Today, we're going to be taking a look towards the past. Now, I would be remiss to not mention many people a part of Bridgepoint or that Bridgepointers love have experienced abuse in the past. And I want you to know abuse in all of its forms and expressions is evil. It's evil. You are not a product of that. And I want you to know that God's plan and purpose for you is bigger than that. So today's message is really a background that doesn't involve abuse. If you're in the room and that's part of your experience, we want you to know that you're welcome here. And we want to walk alongside you towards your emotional healthy journey. Because this place, this people, this church is for you. We'd be honored even to connect you with people that would love to walk with you and are trained, licensed, and qualified best to guide you through that process. So know up front that that's a part of the conversation, but this journey today is really going to be a background that does not include abuse. But we want you to know that you're in the right place. So when it comes to background and when it comes to how a family influences present and certainly the direction that our lives are going, Mike, you're here because you're basically an expert, right? You know all these things and you have all sorts of wisdom to impart upon us, right?
If you're looking for an expert, we can end this now because I am not an expert.
Not an expert.
No, I'm just on a journey.
Yeah, I love that. That's part of why your story, I think, today is going to be incredibly impactful. I think it's going to be incredibly purposeful. And I think it's going to be incredibly useful. Mike, your story is really, really unique. So why don't you kind of set us up with today as it relates to the series and a little more about you?
Yeah, so the series' big idea has been this. Deep Waters faith is simple enough for a child, but strong enough for life. And that what resonated with me about that, especially for today, is that simple doesn't always mean easy. And that can be something that can be frustrating at times. But again, when we have the power of God working in us and through us, and when we surround ourselves with a community of people and believers who can support us, that simple does become possible.
Yeah, love that. That's a good word. Today's message actually might land a little bit on the heavy side as Mike kind of shares some of his story with us. And we want you to know that we're not bringing a story to this message to kind of create a comparison. Like, this isn't a Mike's story is worse than yours, or this is certainly not a guilt trip that, man, Mike or anybody else has had it harder than me. In fact, every story matters to God, because every story makes up the life of a person, and every person matters to God. So we want to understand how we learn from and use stories and move forward together through them. And so that's the power of today, is we want you to be able to hear from Mike, whose recent life story and what he's been learning through that is 100% relevant for what this message and I think what God wants to speak to us today. So maybe starting there, Mike, tell us a little about your family.
Sure. So my immediate family, I think we have a picture up here. That's my family. My wife, Mary Margaret, and I have been married for 27 years. We have four kids, and there's a if you're counting, there's one extra person in the picture, but that's because our oldest son, Jared, is engaged to De'Erica, the young lady in that photo, and they're getting married in March of next year. So that's my immediate family, and just love them very much, of course. But today, we're kind of talking about going back and looking at my family that I grew up in. And so my family of origin, that's kind of what we refer that to. But my dad was born in Indonesia in 1930, and so my dad's actually the one on the left seated there, that is a caretaker that they're with, and he's with his siblings. He was born in 1930. He was born to parents who were Dutch Indonesian, so he spoke Dutch in the home and lived in a very different culture and life, and different generational influences at that time too, and cultural. He was actually alive and lived there during World War II. So he was there during the Japanese invasion of Indonesia, which is an island nation. And his dad, my grandfather, was actually imprisoned in a prison camp as the Japanese were helping to overthrow the Dutch colonization. So that's a very different, unique background. Then my mom, on the other hand, she's born in Wisconsin in 1946. So very different, several years later, actually. My mom grew up in a rural area. She was kind of the middle of six kids. And she had not a great home life, a dad that was, you know, mentally and sometimes physically abusive, but also struggling with alcohol in the family, both. She had a mom who kept it together the best she could, but certainly a lot of impact with that. And neither of their families had any kind of spiritual upbringing. Faith wasn't talked about. They didn't go to church. So that was really absent from both of their lives. But fast forward, mid-1960s, my parents meet in St. Paul, Minnesota. And so this is around the time they met. My dad also was a Porsche aficionado, so he actually had two of them.
Oh,
the
wow.
Story behind that, though, is he only had one engine, so he would drop it in and out. He would race one of them and drive the other, and so that was, of course, you know, very attractive to my mom. And the funny story is, though, when he got married and had kids, he sold both Porsches and got a Volkswagen van, so those are cool, but not quite as cool. But yeah, they met, got married. And, you know, I was born in 1969, so I was the firstborn, oldest of three kids. And so this is a family photo of our family a little bit later, but this is on a trip to Holland, me and my two sisters.
Yeah.
My parents, of course, when you're tourists, you go do the touristy things. And so we got dressed up in Dutch costumes, and my dad would joke that my mom's the only one that really looks Dutch in this photo, him being Dutch Indonesian. But so that was fun. But that's my family. When I was born, my parents decided, you know, let's do the responsible thing. Let's do the right thing, and let's go to church. Never gone to church before. They found a church, interestingly enough, in an elementary school, so it was a church plant. They got connected and just dove right in, which for me was great. It impacted my life greatly, of course. I got to grow up in a good church, to hear about Jesus and having a relationship with God through Jesus. So that's why ministries like our Kids Point, BP Youth, those are so important. That impacted my life greatly. So it was in that time that my mom, through the ministry of the church, she became a believer first. She placed her faith in Christ. Actually, the pastor came to our house, and I have a faint memory of actually that day. And then my dad got saved later. He placed his faith in Jesus a couple years later, after a lot of, you know, listening and just, you know, being around church. His story could be another story for another time, actually. My dad got to come to faith in a personal conversation with Corrie Ten Boom. So in 1975 or 76, he heard her speak. If you don't know who she is, she's a Holocaust survivor. Her parents and family had helped hide Jews from the Nazis. And so she was speaking. My dad heard her speak. He said, I got to talk to her. He got a hold of her somehow. And so this next photo is a pretty worn out photo, but it's from the lobby of a Holiday Inn in Roseville, Minnesota, where my dad placed his faith in Christ. And I'm wearing that whatever ridiculous corduroy jacket, I guess. But anyway, that was a significant pivotal life, of course, for my dad, but also our family. And, you know, having my parents come to faith is certainly significant. And I wish I could say that that changed everything and it was great. You know, all sunshine and rainbows after that. But we know that's not true. On one hand, God absolutely changes your life. When you place your faith in Jesus, you are a new creation. Your sins are forgiven. You are a child of God. But there's also a process that God starts in all of us to change us from the inside out. And in the church world, we call that sometimes sanctification, but that's just a fancy word. It's about getting closer to God. It's about letting God transform us, again, from the inside out and make us more like Jesus. So growing up in church, parents who are new believers, they embraced their new life in Christ. They were at church all the time. They got plugged in. They were serving. They were in groups, Bible studies. And for all purposes, from the outside, we looked like a pretty good, perfect family.
Yeah. I'm reminded just from that story, makes me think back to a passage in Deuteronomy, which was kind of God, Moses, God spoke to Moses. Moses recorded it for people, but Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7, kind of give the picture of the purpose, the intent of what healthy family is supposed to be. That passage says this, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." See, God had a specific purpose for families, and in its healthiest form, it was a committed purpose of together getting closer to God, understanding more about Him, what we've learned, sharing that, passing it down throughout the generations. The problem is that as much as that was the purpose, when we aren't healthy, when we're not in positions where we're getting closer to God, when we allow that sin that has influenced and affected all of us, sin being anything that's opposite of God's design for us and not for our best, well, when that creeps into the family, or if I could speak specifically, when it creeps into us as individuals, unfortunately, we tend to pass that down as well. And when unhealth creeps in and unhealth begins to get passed down, then the wider kind of the deviation of God's purpose for a family begins to grow. You pass that through generations, and if you're not careful, that sin, the way it infects and impacts all of the world, but even in families, can really have a critical and unfortunately negative impact on our relationship with God. That's why, and I think today's message is important, that what happens in one generation often repeats itself in the next. It has incredible influence. And when it's part of our upbringing, when it's part of what we learn and know, we pass that down as just part of life, as part of our experience and part of what we come to know and understand about God, which is why parents and families, the goal of this, and we're so thankful for Kids Point Ministry and a BP Youth Ministry, and even my local when they get to that age, so thankful for Next Gen Ministries that will help and reinforce the pursuit of our families getting closer to God, passing down God and His teachings and understanding of Him and not the opposite of that thing. You see, the point of today is that we can actually, regardless of our past, we can embrace our past by viewing it as a gift. And I know for many people hearing that, your past and your family experience doesn't land as a gift. But I want you to know, and I want you to hear today as Mike shares his story, that it's possible because when we examine our past to learn from it, to unlock the why behind maybe even current struggles or difficulties, that can inform us. And with a willingness to take those to God and allow Jesus to do what only Jesus can do, it can allow us to break free from the unhealthy, the sinful things that tend to get passed through generations. Mike, you kind of shared the family story on the outside looked really good, but what was going on in everyone's heart and what you were growing into wasn't necessarily as picture perfect as things might have appeared. Do you mind kind of going a little deeper there?
Yeah, and I don't think that's unique to my situation, but I do want to note too, before I dive in, that I do have great memories of my childhood and parents, a lot of good ones as well, but now that I'm aware as an adult and looking back especially, I do know there were just things we didn't talk about. There were those things that were kept hidden or secret and even kept away from my sisters. We felt the effect of them, but we didn't really realize and understand them until we started unpacking the past. And so one thing I'm discovering that impacted me personally is just that, you know, my dad was, he was present, but he was emotionally unengaged. And so he did a lot for us. He provided, he was, again, I said that earlier, they served in our church. They did a lot, but the older we got, the less engaged he became. Another thing I learned too, and have been unpacking and learning, is that my mom struggled in pretty significant ways during my childhood. And that was, again, something that was kind of kept from us as kids, appropriately probably because we were kids, but also kept a secret from other family members and even friends. So it wasn't until recently, more recent anyway, getting married and having kids of my own for my sisters as well. That was just a huge impactful time to start looking back and even looking back at my own childhood and my parents and unpacking some of the behaviors or things we experienced. And so one major discovery we had, my sisters and I, we found out that my mom really did struggle with alcohol, much like her parents and that family. And she was pretty much a functioning alcoholic. And so my dad, on the other hand, was aware of it, but he was more of an enabler. So he allowed it to happen. He didn't confront lovingly and get my mom the help that she needed. So when my sisters and I were all married, we have young kids, we had an opportunity to lovingly confront my parents on my mom's drinking, and it didn't go so well. We were as loving as we could, again, honoring, trying to honor them as parents, but we really saw the destructiveness of what that was doing and had done even in the past. So that led to an estranged relationship. Our relationship as parents and kids, even now grandkids, was just not the same since. And that was really sad in all that was missed, not just for my sisters and I, but our kids, so the grandkids with their grandparents. After several years, though, of being estranged, a family friend of my dad and actually of ours actually prompted them, said, hey, you know, you guys had such a perfect family. What happened? Encouraged us to go to counseling. And so my parents said, yeah, they would. So all of us got together, went to a professional counselor and therapist, and we sat down for a couple days. Some sessions with just my parents, some with all of us together, our spouses included, because by that time, our spouses had been part of the family for 10 plus years. And so they knew, you know, and were part just as much. So sat down, unpacked a lot of stuff in a couple days. But at the end of the session, the counselor sat down with my sisters and I, and this was kind of a key pivotal moment in learning. And she asked all of us, she said, has your mom ever been diagnosed as bipolar? And so that was like, wow. And we sat there, tons of emotion and thoughts and feelings in that moment, but just it really helped us to understand maybe some of the past and help us even find compassion and go, wow, okay, that's why some of the things were the way they were. And so there were still several attempts after that to try and restore that relationship, but it really was never the same. And then 2020 came. And for a lot of different reasons, 2020 is, you know, one of those years for a lot of people, but for me personally, in April, my dad was hospitalized at the beginning of COVID for an unrelated medical issue. And so that's when we didn't know what COVID was. It was still pretty up in the air, but basically nobody could go in and see him. So he was there for almost 20 days, and he's 90 years old, but 90 as an active 90. People didn't believe he was 90. I mean, he was still playing tennis, not like he was in his 20s, but he could still play tennis. But he was in the hospital, ended up getting something wrong with his lungs from aspirating, and so put on a ventilator, and he passed away on April 23rd. But thankfully, I was able to go to the hospital. They were still allowing people, if death was imminent, to go in, at least one family member to go in, and my mom sent me. She said, why don't you go? And so I was able to spend a few hours the evening before, and he couldn't speak. He was awake, though, so had a moment, just FaceTimed with my sisters and their family, so have a little bit of time at that. And of course, that was very hard, emotional, and still unpacking that today. But that led to my sisters and I then caring for my mom, who going through grief, but also still the struggles that she had. And so from the time my dad was hospitalized in just a few short months, she had four ER visits for accidental overdose by mixing alcohol and prescription medication. And we're desperately trying to get her the help that she needed and get her in a situation where she could be safe. But unfortunately, she still wasn't making good choices. And so we did everything we could. It was a crazy 3 months. And I'm local. I live locally. My parents lived in Clearwater. My sisters were in Minnesota. So we did our best to try and figure out how do we help mom through this. Then 3 months later, on July 23rd, got a call that my mom from a neighbor, my mom had passed away. She had finally overdosed on alcohol and prescription medication. And so, of course, that was equally shocking, emotional, difficult, in a different way, though, because at that point I thought, asking myself questions and wrestling with emotions, am I responsible? How much should I have done? Could I have done something different? If I did something different, would she have not done that? And still, you know, unpacking some of that, but it was after both my parents' passing that my sisters and I had an opportunity to really go through things, go through their belongings, go through pictures, and some of that was also impactful, therapeutic at times, difficult at times, but we emotional at times. And for me, that was the beginning of a journey of just, again, learning to be okay with my feelings and emotions. And even as recently in January, we had a staff prayer time right here in this room. And it was uncomfortable for me personally because in that staff, we got into groups, we were in small groups, a few people, but I just wept uncontrollably. And that's not me, at least not what I'm comfortable with, but I know I need to be better at that. So I had to remind myself that, you know, it's okay. I need to feel these emotions. I need to process these. It's not healthy if I just stuff those inside and try and deal with them in that way. I have to just let it out. And so that's been a learning thing for me. And it's something that I hope to continue to do. Like we said before, I'm not done. I'm not an expert. I am still learning and on this journey of emotional health.
Yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that stuff, Mike. That's a lot of weight. And what I'm most thankful of is your willingness to take those things to God and allow him to continue shaping you and growing you through them. As you're sharing, I can't help but think about what's oftentimes a confusing statement, a recorded statement by Jesus in Matthew 10, 37. It says this, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." That seems like a bold statement from Jesus. "And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Almost as if we shouldn't love family relationships. And knowing Jesus in the fullness of what we know about his ministry and his life and his purpose for us, this is not a competition with family as much as Jesus is helping people understand that for many of us, when it's passed down through family, especially in moments when family memories or journeys are not always pleasant, we tend to define ourselves by that, or we'll define our worth, derive our worth from the past, from those experiences, from those moments. And Jesus was kind of right in the middle of that saying, man, if you're trying to find your worth and value, and we talked about this in week one a lot, from people, from anybody else, whether it's family or not, it will not satisfy you. Our family wasn't made to. It won't complete you. It'll never be enough. And so I love your willingness, Mike, to be learning through those things. But one thing, and I want everybody to stay and tune into this next part, especially in light of one of the last verses in the Old Testament. So this is before Jesus. This is after a long period of time of people wondering, like, God, do you see what's going on around here? Are you still for us? Are you still working in our lives? We feel like we can't hear from you. We feel lost. Sin had damaged the beautiful world God had created because sin lives in each and every one of us. And so after a long period of time, one of the prophets, his name was Malachi, actually began to set the table for the coming Savior. We know him now as Jesus because we live on the other side of his having come, his dying in our place and his ability to get up from the grave to offer us forever life and hope and the beauty of those things. But those people at that time didn't know it. They were just asking and crying out for any kind of hope, knowing that in family it wasn't going to be enough. And what had been passed down through generations was broken. And I want you to hear, if you're today, if that's part of your story, that what's been passed down, be it from family or just past experiences, God still has a plan for you. One of the last verses of the Old Testament is Malachi 4:6, where through the prophet Malachi, God speaks to his people by saying, "And he, the coming Savior, the one that we're all waiting for, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." In other words, God's saying, I see the brokenness. And part of what Jesus's rescue, of what his redemption was going to be about, was helping people to find what our broken, sinful families could never provide for us. That healing, that worth, that value that's not available in human relationships, but is completely satisfied in Jesus. And Mike, in this journey, this past year is being the culmination of it, but really the beginning in some ways of what you're learning and growing through, you've learned a lot from that. Will you share a little bit about that with us?
Yeah, so earlier you said too, you know, you talked about seeing our past and those journeys as a gift. And that's been difficult because I didn't always see it as a gift. But I'm reminded of a passage in Romans chapter 8, and it's a passage that's talking about our present suffering, but also our future glory, the hope that we have in Christ. And in verse 28, it says these words. It says, "We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Mm. Now that doesn't mean, because sometimes we can read that and go, oh, everything's going to be good. No, that doesn't mean that it's only good things will happen to us. But what it does mean is that, but in all things, God does work for the good of those who love him. So like you said, he's in the business of redeeming and restoring what was broken. And he turns things for our good. And so with that truth in mind, with that context, I have been able to kind of find a way to understand that God can take my past, my journey, and all those things working for his good so that I can see it all, feelings, emotions, past, everything as a gift. And so in that journey, some of the specific things that I've been unpacking, especially after my parents' death, it really forced me deeper into that journey. Like I said, I'm not done. I'll probably be on it for the rest of my life, but it unpacked a lot of things for me. And I had to come to terms with things, most importantly and first and foremost, understanding everything, all of this in the context of who I am. And we've been talking about in this series too, who I am in Christ. That's gotta be settled and foundational. Whose I really am, who I belong to. Chad talked about that last week, you know, one of his favorite verses in 1 John, that we are children of God, and he reminds us again, because that is who we are,
yep,
in case we forget.
Yep.
And so that's been important. And for me, it's about, again, learning to feel my emotions and not suppress them, just really learning how to feel. And that's, to be honest, that's uncomfortable for me. But if it's uncomfortable for you, I'd encourage you, man, press in, start to do that. So this past fall, November, I was able to spend a week of intensive counseling and coaching, and just to unpack a lot of this. And to be honest, I could have stayed a lot longer and still not be done. But again, the journey's just starting. But a couple of things I learned is, one, not embracing my emotions, but avoiding them is actually limiting me as a person. And the author of the book that we're in and studying reminds us that even when we don't learn to feel our emotions or deal with them, it's actually doing violence to ourselves and even others, because it's not allowing God to work in us,
yep,
fully.
Yep.
So that's been something I've been wrestling with and unpacking. And then too, just my family of origin, just learning how family behaviors, how that's impacted me, how I saw myself, how I avoided things, how I sought affirmation, how I avoided conflict. And that's been really important. But one thing that really has hit me is my past and my relationship with my dad. It really did impact how I see God as a father. And so just wrestling with that and being on that journey is an important one for me, because again, God as our Heavenly Father is such an important and strong concept in Scripture. I said before, my dad was emotionally unengaged. He was present, but not really engaged. I don't really feel like I knew my dad. And now, you know, that's part of the journey too, is struggling with that. I don't have an opportunity now to go back.
Yeah.
But in that too, just to be vulnerable, you know, for me, I mean, I'm learning and understanding, and I just really wanted my dad to see me and know me. And so to have his approval. So that was tough, but I also wanted to know him. who that kid in that photo was. What was his childhood like? What was he like as a teenager, as a new father, a new husband? And we just never had those conversations. That wasn't who my dad was. He wasn't comfortable sharing that stuff. We asked him, tell us about your childhood. And he just, it just wasn't something he talked about. So just unpacking that, but then also on the other side, understanding that my dad maybe didn't know how to do that, but I do know that he loved me. I do know that he cared for me. I know that he had his own issues, his own things that he needed to deal with. And that's not for me. It also is a great reminder too that we as believers have a heavenly Father who loves us.
Yep.
And so that has been an important thing for me. But again, as I said, also understanding how our earthly fathers impact that view. And so Chad pointed out last week too, we got to learn and be committed to learning to deal with our emotions. And so for me, that's the journey I'm on. So when I say that too about my dad and my dad as a father, man, immediately what comes to mind for me too is the thoughts flooding my head and the emotions around, am I doing this right as a father? And I'm like, man, what are my kids going to look back in their life and see in their dad? And while I've helped them get closer to God, while I've helped them see their heavenly Father, and to be honest, sometimes not only is it emotional, but sometimes that terrifies me, if I'm honest. But it also motivates me to say, man, I want to be better at some of those things my parents were. I want to deal with my own stuff so that I can not pass on some of those generational things or pass on the generational things that God wants to,
yep.
His blessings, his teachings. So I know that I can't control or change my family of origin. I can't change my past, but I can control how I respond and how I respond to how that impacts me. And so that's the journey I'm on. I can control that. I can choose to see it as a gift. I can choose to deal with my past and not stuff it or hide it. And I can choose whether I'm going to dive in and do that hard work to learn. Though it may be simple, it's not easy. And I can choose to let God continue to work in me and just go with him in that journey.
Yeah, so good, Mike. Thank you so much for sharing. I think for a lot of us, and the reason we were excited about today is when it comes to past and family or whatever makes up your past and whatever emotions kind of begin to bubble up when you think about that, there are far too many people in this world that are living defined by their past. They're living dragging weight, trying to pretend it doesn't exist, to keep it locked in a closet, to pretend that it's not a part of them. And I want you to know that your past absolutely does not define you. It doesn't. But the beauty of that is your past, when submitted to the work, the heart work, the transformation work that the God of the universe, by sending his son Jesus, wants to do in your heart and mine, is to take that past and redeem it. Take that past and use it for our good, that we might fully walk in our purpose. If we could summarize today and leave you with something to be thinking about, I would kind of give you this big idea. We can honor our families and be obedient to God. We can honor our families and be obedient to God. Maybe you need to substitute the word past to that. Maybe it's about understanding your past, learning from your past, and being obedient to God. But we want you to hear and begin a journey of the heart work, the heart exploration inside of each of us. And the beauty of why I'm excited that Mike shared today is that this is work that pastors grow through because we haven't arrived and we're not perfect. This is work that our church leadership is working through. This is work that we invite you to work through, not to revisit and just attack and feel the weight of that emotion, but to finally be able to take it to the foot of Jesus, who, by the way, desires to be hope for us. Jesus, who desires to be the healer of the broken places inside of us. Jesus, the one that desires to redeem those parts of us. And Jesus, who died and rose to ultimately be the rescue for our souls that we can't find anywhere else. We simply submit our past to Jesus and allow him to do a work in us that fulfills us and guides us further into our purpose. That, my friends, is deep waters. That's deep emotional stuff. And today simply is the question of, have you allowed your past to be dropped right at the feet of Jesus? to allow him to speak into it, to allow him to begin working to heal it. Maybe today you're sitting in the room, tuning in online, catching this message later, and this is striking a nerve. Would you please allow our church the privilege of walking with you? Would you please allow us the opportunity to pray with you, to connect you with people that are trained to guide you through unpacking some of those things and trained to walk alongside you as you lay them at the feet of Jesus, trusting that those things will never define us, but those things will absolutely shape and propel us into the beautiful, good purpose that God has for us. We talked about this in week one, were uniquely made in the image of God, made with emotions that don't have to be carrying weight of shame, condemnation, or dysfunction from the past. But instead, when we're willing to do the hard work, which is often the heart work of saying, God, would you continue to make me and shape me? That's a process that God promises not only to honor and work in, but to help us come out the other side new. And that's the invitation for today. Mike, thanks for sharing. Thanks for what you're willing to teach us about what you've learned and gone through. And I hope for our church, as you've heard Mike's story today, as you're journeying and learning what it means to swim in and navigate these deep waters, the invitation is the same that it for both of us. It's not that we have any special words or powers, but we want to point you to a God that knows you, loves you, understands you, and has plans and purpose for you. I just love an opportunity to pray for all of us in light of what God wants to do with a message like Mike has shared with us. Would you pray with me? God, thank you that because of Jesus, we are free from our past. It has no bearing over us. It doesn't have to define us. It doesn't have to keep us anchored in someone that we're trying to step out of. But Jesus, the freedom, the hope, the grace, the peace, the value, you have a lot of good things to say for us in that. God, today, would you move us as a church, which means would you move us as individuals to be willing to get closer to you, to get honest with you, to bring our past to you, our families to you, and to trust you to do what only you can do, God. God, would you continue, as you promised to do, would you continue the good work that you've started in those of us that are trusting you? And God, would you find us faithful as a people that are simply working as hard and even though imperfectly as we can to get closer to you, God? Can't wait to see what you have in store through this message and through our journey towards you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
While we're affected by powerful external events and circumstances, our families are the most powerful group to which we will ever belong. Family patterns from the past often repeat themselves without us even being aware of it. Today, why not pause for a minute and take a look at your past? Give the hurts to God in prayer and thank him for the good times. By doing so, we can start to break free from past hurts and move forward to the life God has for us. Thanks so much for listening today. If you'd like to connect with us this week, please fill in the form found at bridgepointfl.com/connectcard. And if you need prayer, you can let our prayer team know or filling out the form at bridgepointfl.com/prayer. Have a really great week, everyone.